We are not to be astonished or blindsided by the temporal reality of suffering in this life when we trust and obey Jesus Christ. But we need to recognize underneath that God is refining us, making us like Christ. He is proving us genuine.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Vancouver Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. And Greg, your message today raises the question, why are things so tough?
You know, Dave, the reality is this life is tough and there are difficult things that happen to us. And within those difficulties, we can often look for a way out or even possibly someone to blame for those difficulties. Yet in reality, we should be wondering what God is doing in our lives. So let's begin by turning in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, the reality is if you're a true believer, at some time or another, we're going to suffer for following Jesus Christ. We're going to suffer for doing what is right. And this suffering may come as you obey the Lord in your work. You may have people persecuting you. Suffering may come at home as you obey the Lord within your family circumstances. Those who don't know the Lord may persecute you. Suffering may come in the context of the church when you do what is right. And there are those who would turn against you in that. You know, the reality is if you're a Christian, if you're a true believer, you're probably going to be maligned or suffer at some time for following Jesus and doing what is right. Suffering for Jesus is a reality for this temporal life as a believer. Now, sometimes this suffering can come along and blindside us in such a way that we weren't expecting it, in a manner that we were just caught off guard. And it's in those times that we could be tempted to respond wrongly or to react wrongly. So with this in mind, we come to the end of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and we're going to see today how we are to respond to suffering for obeying Jesus. And more specifically, we're going to see the blessed proving of our faith. Now, again, the context of 1 Peter is, we've gone through this book and we're almost done. Peter is writing believers in Asia Minor. It's about 64 AD. They are very close to the physical persecution that Nero would bring upon the church within a couple months. And within this, we've seen that we are temporary sojourners, that this place is not our home, that we are living here as temporary residents on our way to heaven. And within that, Peter has revealed the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, and that we are to rejoice in spite of the difficulties, knowing what God is doing through Christ in the context of our great salvation. And we are to fix our hope alone on Christ. We are to live holy because He is holy. And we are to live in the context of godly fear and love the body because we've been born again unto that. Because the Lord God is building up this spiritual house, and within that we are to yearn for the pure milk of the Word. And within that we are seen now as, and we are, His distinct people, those who have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we may proclaim His excellencies. And then we saw the application portion of this book, where we saw that we were to keep far or stay away from fleshly lusts which wage war with our soul. We know that, right? When we yield to those things, there's a war that goes on inside, and we are to stay far away from those things, and we are to keep our behavior excellent among Gentiles or non-believers. So as they observe our good deeds in Christ, as they slander us, they might glorify God in the day of visitation. The reality that God is working behind the scenes concerning those who don't know Him, using our Christ-like responses to be a venue that people might be shamed about their sinful behavior and turn to Christ and be saved. We know that we are to behave properly around the governing authorities. We are to behave properly around those situations that involve submission, as exemplified by the slave-master situation, that God's eye is upon those who are trusting Him. His ear is attentive to their prayer. His favor is upon those who are suffering, but suffering for doing what is right and responding rightly. We saw in the end of chapter 2, that we were called for this purpose. We were called to follow in the footsteps of Christ, Jesus Christ, who through unjust suffering brought about our redemption, didn't respond, didn't revile in return. He uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And from that, God brought about our redemption. And so too in ordered relationships where we might suffer, in ordered situations such as even the husband and wife. Wives are to be submissive. They're to win their non-believing husbands without a word, with that gentle and quiet spirit. Husbands are to live in an understanding way. And we all are to be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted. We're to be tender towards one another, knowing that God is towards those who are trusting him. His ear is towards the righteous and his eye is attentive on them. And we are not to, as we saw in chapter 3, be intimidated by those who are persecuting us. But instead, we are to do what is right. We are to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, being ready to give an account for the hope that we have, yet with gentleness and reverence. We are to do what is right in the context of those who might be persecuting us. And again, we saw in the end of chapter 3 that it is through the persecution that Jesus went through that we have our salvation. God used the worst evil that man brought upon Christ in his overall plan to bring about our redemption in Christ Jesus. Then in chapter 4, we saw that we are to arm ourselves with the same purpose in the midst of suffering. We're to be thinking the same way Christ thought. We're to have Christ-like mindset. We're to recognize we no longer live the way we used to live. We don't live that way continually, habitually. And those who do are going to malign us. But the judge is right at the door. He's standing right there. There's judgment for those who reject Christ. And within that, we saw the end of all things is at hand. So we should get our thinking right so that we can pray, and we should be fervently loving one another. And then as we've seen in the last few weeks, we should be serving one another with the strength that God supplies. And if we have speaking gifts, sharing his word for his glory. So with that in mind, we come to our passage today in which I believe we're going to see how we can endure and also respond rightly to those circumstances that might come upon us that could tempt to blindside us in a situation. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 12 to 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing. We stop there, we go, oh boy, I don't want to hear that, right? Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, evildoer, or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Seems like there's a lot of scripture there, but as I studied it, this whole portion is one piece of thought, and we need to see it together. And so, Lord willing, we'll look at this whole portion today. I believe we're going to see a flow of thought in this passage that helps us understand specifically how we are to respond to suffering when it comes upon us, when it might even blindside us. You know, some of you might be familiar with the term sneaker wave, and every few years on Oregon and Washington, there are people who get hit by a wave and get sucked out. Some are killed. It all of a sudden, something they didn't expect happens and hits them, and they are taken out, they drown, or whatever it might be. It's a horrible thing. But it's something unexpected, and it takes them by surprise. And the reality is sometimes suffering for us as Christians can blindside us. It can take us by surprise. And we need to be prepared biblically in our relationship with Christ to respond rightly so that God is glorified and we are not shaken in the faith. So how are we to respond when suffering comes upon us? Well, first of all, we are to keep on rejoicing rather than being surprised. Look at verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Peter says, beloved here. It is a term of endearment. It is a term of love between brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter is talking to these believers and makes it clear they are the beloved. They are in Christ. He's shared this same term earlier in chapter 2, verse 11, when he began the application portion of the section. Now he shares it towards the end, where we are coming to a close in the book. And we're going to see today that this portion that we're looking at today really reflects quite a bit of what we see in chapter 1 concerning the reality of suffering and then the glories to follow and where our heart should be. We're not to be surprised at what's coming, but we're to respond with rejoicing, as we'll see. Now, before we look at it in depth, I want to point out some structure in this passage. This passage is littered, not littered in a bad way, but in a good way, with commands. There are commands throughout this passage. When God commands us, he is telling us to do something. Verse 12, do not be surprised. It's a command. Middle of verse 13, keep on rejoicing. Verse 15, do not suffer as, okay? Verse 16, let him not feel ashamed, or do not be ashamed. It's really a command. Verse 16, let him glorify God. And then at the end, verse 19, entrust their souls. It's a command. This passage has no less than 6 commands in it for us as believers. And so we need to recognize God is telling us what we are to do in the midst of these situations when they come. We are not left in the dark. So he begins, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. We don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to suffer. I don't think there's anything wrong with not wanting to suffer. It's how we respond to it when God does allow it, right? You know, the Lord Jesus, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, if this cup could pass, but yet not my will, but thy will be done. He understands. Now, certainly in our humanity, we can also sinfully not want to do what God wants to do. But the reality is, we don't want to suffer. But yet in our heart of hearts, we should submit our wills to the Lord. And if it has to be, Lord God, help me to respond rightly so that you will be glorified. And he says here, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. This term fiery ordeal really does reflect the reality of what would come upon these believers within 6 months. Nero would burn down Rome, and then he would fiddle as he's burned down. You know the story. And then he would blame Christians for that. And a great persecution of Christians broke out very soon to this time. That's probably what Peter, inspired by the Spirit, is pointing to. But on the other hand, it says the fire deal which comes upon you, current, present tense. It's happening. Don't be surprised at this ordeal that comes upon you. And that brings it down to real time. That for each and every one of us, there can be difficulties that can come upon us all of a sudden. And we're not to be, as we see here, surprised. The term literally means to entertain a stranger. And it came to speak of being startled or bewildered. Don't be stunned. What is happening to me? God says, don't do that. Don't do that. You see, we can be blindsided, not understanding that when we obey Christ, there may be suffering that comes upon us within relationships, within situations in our lives. We need to understand that. He says, don't be startled, don't be surprised, don't be astonished. Don't be astonished. Now, in chapter 5, we're going to see when we get there, Lord willing, that after God has allowed it for a little while, just like the suffering for our other brothers, he's going to strengthen, confirm, and perfect us, okay? He's not going to let it continue. He's not breaking us. He's building us up. It's for good, as we'll say. But we are not to be startled or astonished. Why is this happening to me? And that's our temptation, right? Someone starts slandering you or whatever it might be, putting you down for the things you've done in Christ. You've done the right thing. And it's, why is this happening to me? People start treating you wrongly, whatever it might be. We're not to be surprised. You know, because we're to know and understand that we are going to suffer for Christ. We're going to get to this portion a little more in depth in a minute, but I want to point out that the reality is we are going to suffer for Christ. Look at our passage again. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you or is coming upon you for your testing. We'll look at that in a minute. As though some strange thing were happening to you. What is going on? We're not to be surprised. It's actually not a strange thing for believers, as we're going to see. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. The reality is, he's speaking about suffering for Christ. He's speaking about suffering for obedience to him. He's speaking about suffering for doing what is right. And we've seen that throughout the book of 1 Peter. Remember in chapter 2, they were being slandered for their good deeds in the midst of Gentiles or unbelievers. They're being slandered as evildoers, chapter 2, verse 12. We saw the real possibility in chapter 2, 18 through 20, that someone might suffer under unreasonable master in doing what is right. We see in chapter 2 in the end that we are to follow in the footsteps of Christ who suffered for us, right? Who uttered no threats, didn't revile in return, kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. We see in chapter 3, verse 9, we are not to return evil for evil or insult for insult. The implication is people are doing evil towards us. We're being insulted. We see in chapter 3, verse 14, if we suffer for the sake of righteousness, we're not to fear their intimidation or be troubled. We saw in chapter 3, 16, we are to keep a good conscience in the thing that we are slandered, that those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame, chapter 3, 16. Chapter 3, 17, God should will it that we suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. Chapter 4, verse 4, when we don't go with those we used to go with before we were saved, they malign us. And so we've seen this reality. We'll see in our passage, chapter 4, verse 13, if you are reviled for the name of Christ. See, not always is suffering being thrown in prison and being dragged out. That certainly can happen. That's a reality. But the suffering we see more often in Scripture here is this suffering concerning people maligning, insulting, intimidating, all this stuff. Now, it certainly can lead to physical violence and those things, and even death. Certainly did with Christ. Crucify him, right? But the reality is, often it has to do with being slandered, reviled, wronged, insulted, evil brought upon you for doing what is right, for the sake of righteousness. When you abide in Jesus Christ and you obey his word by his power and strength, his spirit working out the life of Christ in you, and you suffer for it, that's the suffering that we're seeing here today. Indeed, we do suffer, and sometimes we suffer for our own sin. Peter will address that later. There's no credit if we endure that. We do suffer in other situations. There's suffering within different trials in this life. There are physical trials. There are other trials. But when it comes to this, this is suffering for Christ, very specifically. So do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you for a testing as though some strange thing is happening. And this is to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. It's coming because you're following and obeying Christ. That's what this passage is pointing to. That's what we need to remember. And we're not supposed to be surprised. We're not supposed to be blindsided by it. We're supposed to be ready and understand. And we'll see specifically what we are to do. We also should understand some of the realities behind what God is doing in this suffering. He is using it, as we've seen, for redemptive opportunities. He uses our response to work in the hearts of those who don't know him, that they might be shamed and repent and believe, that they might be those who are wanting to know why we have hope. And we prepared our hearts to do that, sanctifying Christ. There are those that might glorify God in the day of visitation because they've had their sins forgiven. But God is doing something else in our passage, as we'll see, concerning suffering, and it is one of the main themes of our passage. I believe we're going to see that he is proving our faith genuine, and he is refining our faith. Look at our passage again, chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. as though some strange thing were happening to you. Now, this fiery ordeal is coming because of obedience to Christ. Remember that. To the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. Okay? And he's saying, it is coming upon you for your testing. They are the beloved. They're believers. They're not non-believers. It's not to prove that they're not believers. It's proving that they are, as we'll see. And it is refining believers. You see, one element of what God does when he allows things to come our way is to test and refine our faith. Turn to James chapter 1. This is a pretty familiar passage, but it really relays some of the same realities. God is doing good through the difficulties he allows. He is sanctifying us. If it is through difficulty that the righteous is saved, we'll see, I believe, sanctified in that context. If it's through difficulty, what about the unbeliever? What's going to happen to them? James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. The wording here really reflects a ship cruising along and then all of a sudden hitting a reef. All of a sudden you've hit something. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing or proving of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and lacking in nothing. We see a little farther down in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been tested or approved, it means testing for the sake of approval. Once he has been approved. You know, it's interesting. You test things to show that it's genuine, right? And that's what it's talking about. It says, once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God is doing good in trials. He is refining us. He is making us more like Christ. And he is proving us as truly who we are in Christ. Because our faith is more precious than gold or silver, which is perishable. To God it is. Take a look back in 1 Peter. We saw this in chapter 1. In chapter 1, that we are to greatly rejoice in our salvation, even though we're distressed by trials, because of what God is doing in it. What God is doing. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, and I think this really ties together with what we're seeing Peter put a bow on here in chapter 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Obviously, it's the salvation he's just spoken of. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Notice this. Look at verse 7. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal, right? Tested by fire. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What God is doing now is going to bring him great glory when Christ is revealed, if we respond rightly. He is testing our faith. And notice he says here, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The proof of our faith, more precious than gold or silver, which is perishable.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we respond to what you've taught us in this message?
You know, Dave, the reality is God puts his greatly loved children through various trials to prove or demonstrate our faith as genuine and that his Spirit is upon us. Now, not only should we not be surprised or startled, we should rejoice in that we are blessed to be walking with the Lord and sharing in His sufferings. Well, brothers and sisters, we're just getting started, so be sure to join us next time as we continue in Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hello, everyone. This is Greg Lundstedt. Now, you may or may not realize that Equipping the Saints is a listener-supported broadcast, and we cannot continue on the air in your local area apart from the Lord's provision for the broadcast through listeners like you. Therefore, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us in this vital ministry of getting out His Word with your prayers and financial support? We appreciate you all and hope to hear from you soon.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144 or at etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.